Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Welcome back to the Bump and Stacy Show. I'm sitting here with my guy, C. Raj. Stacy is out on vacation, and we are going to talk to none other than Shannon Dreyer. Shannon, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
We are well. We are well. We're getting ready for this series tonight against the Texas Rangers. I'm feeling good about it. Shannon, how are you feeling about it?
I think you have to feel good about anything that is kind of coming down the pipe for this Mariners team right now.
Shannon, you look at this roster now, Julio Rodriguez is back. You got Kurt Casale, who was activated yesterday as well. This is the healthiest they have been maybe at any point this season. They're in the wild card hunt. They would be in the playoffs right now if the season were to end today. They're facing a stretch of schedule here where it looks very advantageous. Does it feel like there is another gear this team is about to hit as they enter the second half of August?
I actually wrote about this last night and this morning. It's up on seattlesports.com right now. I think that I don't want to discount anything that they have done, because right now, in addition to getting the players back that they have now got back, and I believe this is the first time since I want to say April 29th that they have had the full lineup, and it's changed because you didn't have Cal Raleigh back then. He had not emerged as a player yet. You didn't have Santana, who's helped in the clubhouse and has been big in clutch situations. They obviously didn't have Luis Castillo, but through that struggle, there was a lot that was learned. There was a lot of team building. There was a lot of confidence that was gained through that, and that whole, well, if anybody can win it on any type night for them, you know, really kind of kicked into gear. So I think all of that was important. But you've got the entire group there. I just have to look back to the two games against the New York Yankees, the last two in that series, and even the games in the Bronx. They had a playoff feel, and they were playoff-style games. And I think that if you look at those games and where this team has come from and the players that they have right now, I look at what is coming up ahead. Is there a different gear? Well, I just want to see consistency. I want to see them stay healthy. You know, that's going to be huge. And just kind of hit some sort of, I don't know, when I look at what they're doing right now, it's unfamiliar territory. Right now, they're not like chasing a postseason spot. They have a postseason spot. Now they're holding off others, and I think actually getting ready for the postseason. And if we see what we saw in that series against New York with perhaps just a little bit more offense, because October is about the pitching, you might be looking at something more than a wild card. That might not be what you have to settle for. So that's kind of what I hope to see over this last stretch of 49 games, is that they are able to elevate so that they can, you know, do those things that make that difference once they get into the playoffs. And I think at the beginning of the season, we were looking at a playoff appearance would be fantastic. Now that we've seen what they can do, and now that we see them at 100%, I think, you know, it's not too greedy to do them a little bit.
Shannon, it sounds like we are going to see Julio tonight. We've seen Mitch Haniger kind of bounce back and insert himself into the lineup and have success. How likely is it that Julio can get back in his lineup and just keep the good vibes rolling in and keep balling out the way he has been?
I think it might be a little bit. I mean, Julio will not have the benefit of a rehab assignment. He truly has been very much down and not seeing live pitching for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, he's had a little bit of batting practice. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is a small adjustment, but I don't think it would be more than one or two games. And I also wouldn't be surprised if he came out and, you know, hit a home run tonight. I think that it is a little different in that Haniger had 11 games. He had been playing. So that expectation might be a little bit much for Julio, but I don't think it should take too long.
Shannon, moves were made in the pitching rotation over the last couple of days. Chris Flexen to the bullpen. It looks like they're going to go with a rotation of Castillo, Ray, Gilbert, Marco, and George Kirby. How surprised were you that Flexen was the choice to get moved to the pen?
Not very surprised. I think that you had to, and Scott Service talked about this a little bit. It wasn't just a function of who you were moving. It was what's going to fit best for everybody. And I do think that they view Flexen as being somebody who can be kind of versatile. He has pitched out of the bullpen before. More of a reliever type repertoire than if you were, say, moving Marco Gonzalez to the bullpen. I think that that for the team is just a better fit. And you hope that Marco finds what he had for the majority of the season. For the majority of the season, he had been putting quality starts. He had not been surrendering more than three. These times out have been tough for him, but I think that when you look at Flexen and what he is able to do, as just kind of be able to bounce back from things, you saw it going into the break where he was the guy who pitched one day short on one day short rest. They had no problem doing that. You see him as a guy that's got more on the fastball. He's got a four pitch repertoire. Maybe he picks up a little something on the fastball when he's put into the pen. And of course he does have some of that bullpen experience. I think we'll see him start a game or two here or there. Scott Service indicated that much a couple of days ago. So I think that, you know, overall, I think that had as much to do with him being a better fit in the bullpen than the other candidates for it.
Shannon, these guys have 9 games on the road. I've asked you before, what does a win-loss look like? What does success look like? I'm not going to ask you that. What does it feel like? What does a successful road trip feel and look like for these M's right now?
I think you want to just see good baseball right now. I think that, you know, with everybody in place, you want to see them kind of start to hit a little bit of a stride, which obviously they had going into the break with the winning streak, but stumbled a little bit coming out of the break against some very tough competition. So I'd like to see consistent play. I'd like to see, you know, good starts. I'm interested to see how they manage innings. If they get into these games where they do get ahead of some of the lesser competition that they face, do they pull back a little bit on the starters? How do you keep the bullpen fresh through this all? Putting Chris Flexen in the bullpen, I think, also helps a little bit in that I think you can use him in addition to the days where perhaps he would be piggybacking with George Kirby. I think it's important that you keep that bullpen in one piece and you don't see them overextended like we did last week a little bit where he had to hold some guys out. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing. And then just kind of get them used to, I think we're going to see a more consistent lineup, you know, provided everybody stays healthy, and have them get used to the guy in front of them, the guy behind them, and trusting in that group again and knowing that that's going to be the group going forward. It was funny because when we were flying last night, we were all going through the schedules kind of on the back of the plane and what do they need to do, and they just need to win series right now. And I went and I did the math. If they won every series between now and the end of the season, they would be a 94-win team. They're not on a 94-win pace right now, but then you look at the pace, and that really doesn't take into consideration who they are playing. So, you know, if you want to throw out what records could be, I think that, you know, would be a pretty high expectation because some of your game series. But, you know, there's some positives when you look at if they just do what they're supposed to do, where that leaves them.
Shannon, Sam Haggerty has been just on a ridiculous pace over the last month, really endearing himself to this Mariners fan base as they've kind of started to fall for this kid, who has been just one of the most pleasant surprises of this season. How likely is it that he continues at this pace? It feels almost unsustainable for anybody, but he has really been a tremendous bright spot for them over the last about 3 or 4 weeks now.
He really has, and I'm sure everybody will say this now, but I really did like him when they first got him. I liked him the first time that you saw him put in games a couple of years ago, and then the first impression was, okay, he's a ball player, you know, maybe a little scrappy, gets the job done, can run, can field. And he has been invaluable in the field, you know, much like Dylan Moore has. Our infielders in the outfield have not looked too bad this year, which is a surprise after being just something you never wanted to see a couple of years ago. But at the plate, what I like about him is he has always had just sneaky pop, sneaky power. The guy, you know, he hit one out onto Utah Street in Baltimore. We have seen him hit the ball hard. And also, once he gets on base, the ability to do some things as well. So offensively, he's been a nice player. But what I do like is he has made some changes. And when you see numbers go up that are associated with a change, you feel better about that. He has made a small adjustment to what he does at the plate. Can he continue at the rate that he's at right now? No, I don't think he's probably a 350 hitter. I doubt that. But I also don't think that he is a 220 hitter or a light hitting good field type player. I think that we're discovering a little bit more about him right now, and I'd like to see him in the lineup, particularly against lefties, as much as possible.
Shannon, this rotation in the bullpen has been awesome for the Mariners this year, but is there someone who's not Robbie Ray or Luis Castillo that you feel needs to kind of take another step forward for this team to have the success that we're hoping they have?
If we're talking about the rotation, the one thing, this is something that you'd like to see between now and the end of the season. Logan Gilbert, it's been a little bit bumpy for him in the second half. And then when you look at his hard hit rates, you get a little bit nervous about that as well. I'm hoping that he is able to get maybe a little bit of rest, even though they don't think that's the issue. They like what they see with the fastball. Maybe a work week does something for him. He definitely is not hurting them at this point, but you get nervous when you look at the innings that he has had. For all that has been said about George Kirby not having the innings behind him, Logan is now getting up into territory that he hasn't pitched before, which should be okay because generally you can go 30, 40 innings past what you have normally done. But if you are looking to do more in the postseason, then, you know, you want him to be as fresh as possible and you want to see him. I think, again, consistency is the key for him. The fastball seems to always be there. Then it's a question if he has the curveball on one night or the slider on the other. I'd like to see him kind of get back. I don't think you can expect him to be pitcher of the month that you saw in April, but a little bit more consistency, a little bit more of an upswing, a little bit more to a spot where you're not having questions about him.
Shannon Julio back in the lineup. We're assuming he's back in the lineup tonight. I would imagine he will be. When he's activated, that's a guy you'd like to have in your lineup most nights. When you look at the workload the Mariners have planned for him since returning from the injured list here, do you think they'll just let him go freely, or will it be sort of working him back into the lineup, you know, maybe giving a day off here or there?
No, and that's kind of the difference where he doesn't have the benefit that Mitch had, that he had the games down in AAA. He also hasn't been out as long, so he's not going to need that. In fact, with everything that he did over the All-Star break and the fact that he's never played in this many games and he's going to go well beyond the number of games that he has played before, in some ways, getting to take 2 weeks off, that might be just a good opportunity for him to recharge those batteries that he wouldn't have had otherwise, and the team obviously survived without him for that. So that actually might play into a benefit for him.
Shannon, we appreciate your analysis. We love you. You have a safe trip, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Shannon.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, that is Shannon Dreher on the Emerald Queen Casino Sports Hotline. Our conversation with Shannon is brought to you by Pacific Lamp and Supply. Hey, with the Seahawks taking on the Steelers in the preseason opener tomorrow on 710, you can catch the Mariners-Rangers game in its entirety on 77 KTTH. Mariners pregame coverage starts at 3. The first pitch is at 4:15 on 770 KTTH. This hour of the Bump and Stacey Show is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Let's get to four down territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
Doing all those reads. That was impressive. Those can trip up the best of broadcasters.
Hey, so. Appreciate you, bro.
First down, Bill Belichick had Matt Patricia and Joe Judge take turns calling the offense last night. Neither one of those guys historically have been offensive coaches. Have you ever, in your entire football career, seen a situation like this?
Not never. I've never seen this before. But this is Bill Belichick. He does exactly what he wants to do, how he wants to do it. And when you have 6 Super Bowl championships, you can do that. This reminds me of like a 2-quarterback system. How many times have you seen that work? Not at the NFL level.
Oh, God. No.
It doesn't work. Maybe in high school, maybe.
Sometimes in college.
Sometimes in college. But that is not something that you see every day. Now, my question is, how's Mac Jones doing with this? Like, because with 2 different coordinators, you're getting 2 different perspectives, 2 different approaches to the game. Is this the best approach for Mac Jones? But when you are Bill Belichick and you've done the things that he's done, you've helped groom the greatest quarterback of all time, I don't second guess it. I guess I'm contradicting myself. I question it, but I also roll with it because it's Bill Belichick. sooner or later, he's got to figure out who's going to be the guy. I don't think you can continue like this. So just like this is the preseason and guys are trying to make the team, these two coaches are trying to win the job as offensive coordinator. Very interesting situation. What do you think of it?
It's bizarre, and I feel for Mac Jones because it almost seems like there's too many voices in his ears right now. He's not expected to play in the Patriots preseason opener, which makes sense. He's their starting quarterback, obviously. But two guys who are not historically offensive coaches now basically being put in charge of the offense. The Patriots have never really had... I mean, the defensive coordinator responsibility there has always been Belichick, but they've had defensive coordinators like Matt Patricia, who was on the defensive side of the ball his first go around in New England. It's so confusing to me.
Yeah.
Imagine if this were going on here in Seattle. Like, this is probably all we would talk about is like, what are you doing?
Be going crazy
yeah,
right
what
now.
Are you doing on the offensive side of the ball? The offensive coordinator job might be the most scrutinized coach on the roster, even more so than the head coach themselves. And I cannot imagine what Patriots fans are feeling right now, having to see Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, two guys who were absolute failures of head coaches, try to cut their teeth as an offensive coordinator. Makes no sense.
Crazy.
Second half. Bump Josh Allen, star quarterback for the Bills, says he will sign autographs to kids, but then he apologizes to the adults who are seeking autographs. You good with that?
I'm not good with that. I think adults need love too. Now, kids should be the priority when it comes to signing autographs. And I understand some athletes are like, these adults are just going to sell this online and make a bunch of money off of it. I feel like if I was making the money that Josh Allen makes, I wouldn't care if someone makes some money off of it. Like, go ahead, man. Feed your family. Go get some money off of this. The reason why I don't like it is because who's paying for these kids to get to the camps? It's the adults. Who's driving them to get there? It's the adults. Who's buying the jerseys? It's the adults.
True.
I'm like, adults need love too. I don't think you go out of your way for adults. Like, if it's convenient and their football is there after you sign a kid's football, yeah, go ahead and do it. Kids need the love, but like, don't sleep on us.
Were there ever any weird autograph seekers when you were playing where you'd be out to dinner or something and then all of a sudden somebody comes up with their binder of cards or of pictures and be like, hey, man, can you sign this for me?
Man, I've had a guy come up to me at dinner with like 4 items.
Wow.
And I'm like, did you follow me?
Yeah, to Maggiano's? Like,
how did you know? And he comes like, can you sign this? And I'm signing it. And then my wife is like, that's not weird to you? Like, he had like 4 items for you to sign. I go, now that I think about it, that is kind of weird. Like, are you stalking me? Do you have GPS on my car? Like, what's going on?
How did you know I was going to be?
Yeah, and I wasn't even a big name for the Hawks. You know what I'm saying? Like, in college days, but for the Hawks, I'm like, I am not Nate Burleson. I'm not Matt Hasselbeck. This is kind of awkward.
I don't know how I would handle that if somebody... I mean, obviously, I would sign, for sure. No one's asking for my autograph.
Yeah.
But, boy, and to think about, like, the stars on the team.
Yeah.
You mentioned Matt Hasselbeck and Nate Burleson and guys on the defensive side of the ball. Like, they probably get asked for autographs no matter where they go.
Right.
That's got to be...
Someone told me a story at Dino's. Matt Hasselbeck goes into Dino's. He's having his lunch. He goes to the bathroom and like 2 dudes follow him to the bathroom to get an autograph.
Do not ask for an autograph at the stall or at the urinal. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
That's where you draw the line.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Third down. Bump. One of the craziest stats I've ever seen in my entirety of watching football. The Baltimore Ravens, get this, they have won 21 straight preseason games. They have not lost a preseason game since the 2015 season.
What?
How impressive is that win streak?
I don't care if we're playing tic-tac-toe. I don't care if we are playing Monopoly. You win anything 21 times in a row, that is impressive. And you're doing it with guys who, most of these guys ain't going to make the team. So that just means you found some way to dial it in during a preseason game off of 2 weeks of practice since 2015. Is that what you said?
2015.
Like, that's remarkable. Now, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean they haven't won a Super Bowl. Have they won a Super Bowl since 2015? No, they haven't.
No.
They haven't
2012
won a,
was
the 2012
last.
Was the last one. Like, they haven't won a Super Bowl, but this is impressive. These coaches got to pat themselves on the back and say, look, we can get guys to play for us. Let's make it 22. Keep it rolling.
Fourth down. yourself, what do you absolutely need to see Saturday night when the Seahawks take on the Steelers?
I need to see the quarterbacks look like NFL quarterbacks. I need to see them go through their progressions and hit the open receiver. I need to see them get the team in and out of the huddle. I need to see them check plays at the line of scrimmage if something doesn't look right. It's all about the QB situation up here. I feel like there's enough talent surrounding either of these QBs for them to be successful. Now, Drew Lock is going to run with the twos. It's going to look a bit different. Like, I don't expect him to have an outstanding performance because of the competition he's going up against and the guys he's going to have surrounding him. Now, these guys aren't chumps. I never disrespect professional athletes. Even if you just made the practice squad, you've done something that most people will never be able to do. But let's be real. He's going to be playing with the twos, so we'll see what that looks like. I just need this offense to look efficient and to be able to move the football. I understand the later in the game you get, the talent level goes down a little bit, so it's not going to be as smooth. But initially, I need to see these quarterbacks look like NFL quarterbacks, and I really want to see Drew Lock use his athleticism. We saw him break a couple runs at practice the other day. They had some design quarterback runs dialed in for him. Use it. Like, this is Drew Lock's opportunity. This is his second chance at life in the NFL. What do you need to see?
You got to have Drew Lock at some point take first team snaps. If that means tomorrow, so be it, because you do not acquire a guy in a trade where you give up your starting quarterback and you acquire a quarterback in return and not see what you have in this guy, and especially not see what you have with him at game speed. The Seahawks absolutely have to do something with Drew Lock this season in terms of getting him on the field, because look, for as much as Pete Carroll, I think, likes Geno Smith, you still have to see what you've got in Drew Lock, because Geno Smith is not going to be your quarterback 10 years from now. Right. He's not going to be your quarterback 5 years from now. I'm not saying that Drew Lock will be either, but I don't think the entire book on him has been written. There is still something there that can be said about him or that can be found out about him. And what other way are you going to do it than by getting him on the field?
You know what else I need to see, Rodgers? Violence.
Yeah.
I need this defense to be smacking dudes. I need them to go up and cause turnovers, interceptions, sacks. I just want to see some violence on the defensive side of the ball. There's a lot of talent over there, a lot of guys fighting for position. Yeah, I just want to see violence, man. I mean, like, controlled violence is football. I'm not talking about go on the street and do something stupid, right? I'm talking about football violence. This is a violent game. Big up to Dave Wyman. He talks about violence all the time in the game. He loves it. All right. You are listening to the Bump and Stacey Show on the Seattle Sports Station and 710 app. When we return, we're going to go down the timeline and give you the IRG injury report. That is next. I'm Michael Bumpus. That is Curtis Rogers.
This is The Timeline
with Bump and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
Welcome back to the Bump and Stacey Show. I'm sitting here with C. Rodge. It's time to hit up the timeline. Here's the first one. We talked about this a little bit. The Ravens won their NFL record 21st straight preseason game. Are you impressed, Curtis?
Yes. As we pointed out during four down territory, winning 21 straight of anything is a massive accomplishment. I can't remember in my personal life ever winning 21 straight of anything.
No.
And to do that over a, what, seven-year stretch now? This is the seventh season this streak has gone on. And just think about all the different players that have come through the Ravens organization, the different quarterbacks. I think that streak had to have started with Joe Flacco. Now it's Lamar Jackson. And I don't even think Lamar Jackson has even played through much of this. I think another Hundley, who is the quarterback in Baltimore there. It is impressive. Now, these games don't count, obviously, in the standings of the regular season, which does take away from the impressiveness of this. Like, this is not a streak that people are setting out to break. Like, this is not something that I don't think
Pete Carroll's saying, hey, we got to break that record, guys. Let's go for a run.
Tyler Hundley is the name. Thank you, Brady. But yeah, this is not a streak that teams are like, guys, we are going to be the record holders of this. Think about 22 in a row. I don't think John Harbaugh is breaking down the huddle after the game being like, all right, guys, 21's in the rear view now. let's go after number 22. I bet there are people in the Ravens organization that had no idea this was even an active streak.
Yeah, I guarantee there are people who didn't know that. Yeah, that is interesting. I think that 21 games is impressive, but you're right. This is not a record that people are going to seek after and say, we have to break that record. Coaches don't care if they win or lose preseason games. It's all about evaluation.
Yeah.
So granted, they've won 21 straight, but they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2012. That's 10 years. So yeah, it's impressive, but let's get to a Super Bowl. All right, next we got, as advertised, a Harry Carey hologram was kind of weird, Rodgers.
A little weird.
It was so weird that they didn't spend too much time focusing on him. They like showed his back a lot, a little side view, pan to the crowd. It was a bit disturbing. Now, we compared it to the Tupac hologram at Coachella.
Yeah.
That wasn't weird. Why was this one so weird?
The animatronics of this Harry Carey hologram were a lot more stiff than the Tupac one, which happened almost a decade prior to the Harry Carey hologram at the Field of Dreams last night, which, got to be honest, let's let the dead be dead. Like, let's let them rest. Holograms are not necessary.
If I die, I need a hologram, though. Don't let me rest.
Okay.
Bring me back.
We'll just beam you into the studio here.
Yes.
And just have you be able to put our hands through you.
Make sure you get my big old water bottle as well. Every
we got
day.
A hologram that too.
Got a hologram the
I don't
water
know if
bottle.
We've got enough pixels ready. But in cut number 12, Brady, let's take a listen to hologram Harry Carey belting it out.
Now, the audio is awesome.
Yeah.
The audio is awesome.
They probably just ripped that from an old recording
exactly.
of Harry Carey. But, yeah, I mean, it was obviously the Field of Dreams is going to deal with ghosts. It's that's the whole point of the movie. Is,
yeah.
You know, the Black Sox scandal, these guys who are long since passed coming back. But I still was a little weirded out by Harry Carey.
Yeah, a little weird. It's all good, though. Next up. All right. Pete Carroll is surprised at what Drew Locke can do. Now, this surprised me that he's surprised. I'm like, didn't you watch that film? Like, you've seen what he can do. But it also means that he's impressing him, that he is getting better at camp, which I can vouch for. I've been to almost all the practices. He's definitely getting better. And that is encouraging because you want this to be a real quarterback battle. You don't want it just to be Geno all the way, no pressure, no competition. This is what you want to hear from Pete Carroll.
In cut number 7.
You know, we knew Geno. We knew his stuff, and we've seen a lot of him over the years, you know. So there's been a few surprises there. He's been really consistent and rock solid. I'm surprised at some stuff that Drew does. You know, his movement, his natural ability, his ability to move with his, you know, and throw the ball with his feet in awkward positions at times to get the ball out, his quickness of release. You know, I saw that stuff, but I until I saw it in person, you know, I didn't know. He's really talented. He's got a lot of skills, man, and the game is easy for him in that sense. Physically, he can make all the throws. He can do the movements. He can run with the football. We've seen him run a lot out here and take off and go, and so it's just been kind of the whole package. It's been a surprise to see that he's this well-equipped. Now it's just down to the competition of it now.
Yeah, and I sat down and I watched film with Shane Waldron on Drew Locke, and yeah, the physical capabilities are there. Make every throw that you want him to make. He can get outside the pocket. He is athletic. So this is good. This is good. Now I just want to see it on Saturday.
Yeah, that if he can continue to do that on Saturday and just maybe replicate what he did in the mock game to start out, I think that would be huge, especially in terms of determining who the starting quarterback is going to be in week one of this season. I do wonder, though, if it's a good thing or maybe it's not such a good thing that Drew Lock is doing stuff this late into camp that is still surprising Pete Carroll. Maybe it's like, where was this at the beginning of camp?
Right.
Where was this in mini camp? Like, you've had ample opportunity to do this, or maybe this is just new stuff that Drew Lock has picked up. Who knows?
Maybe it is. You know, and he's running with the ones a lot more often now, so I'm sure that's helping. Hey, so this next one is kind of funny. Klay Thompson gets hypnotized.
Uh-oh.
I'm so scared of being hypnotized. It's one of the funniest things I've seen in a while. Like, Klay is already a character, right? If you haven't seen, go to ESPN.com. There's a video of him being hypnotized. It is funny. Would you ever do that? I wouldn't touch it. I'm scared of that.
I have never had an urge to be hypnotized.
Never.
I see it at like the Puyallup Fair every now and then. They have the hypnotist show. When I was in high school, they had a hypnotist come and do their routine. I think it was on our senior night, like our grad party, I should say. But I did not go to that. So I've never understood how hypnotism works.
Me either. I don't want to understand it.
No, exactly. People sometimes swear by it, or like it's like a form of therapy.
Really?
Them. But to me, it is bizarre. I mean, I don't judge anybody that is a hypnotist out there. But yeah, Klay Thompson, he did it at Dodger Stadium because his brother plays for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
They must have been some event going on at Dodger Stadium. But like, I could see Klay being down for that.
For
Klay's
sure.
down for anything. Klay
for sure.
is one of the most chill, relaxed dudes out there. Maybe hypnotism works for him.
Maybe it does. I wouldn't do it, but I love watching people be hypnotized, so it's very entertaining. All right, let's get to the IRG Injury Report. It's brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy. The Mariners activate Julio Rodriguez and backup catcher Kurt Casale. Am I saying that right, Curtis?
Casale.
Off the 10-day IL. Also,
Casale.
Also, Rashad Penny is not expected to play in the Seahawks preseason opener. He's dealing with a groin injury. That concerns me a little bit, but we shall see. Hey, Seattle Sports has a new name and a new number. Give us a call or send a text at 866-979-3776. Again, that number is 866-979-3776 for a phone call or a text to the Mac and Jack text line. Update your contacts. Stay connected to the latest in Seattle sports. All right, coming up next, we will talk about the Mariners. They are getting healthy, and I'm excited. That is next on the Bubba and Stacey Show. I'm here with Curtis Rogers.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Welcome back to the Bump and Stacy Show. I'm sitting here with Curtis Rogers. Where's the hood at? Y'all got to text us. 866-979-3776. We have a new number on the Mac and Jack text line. But now we're going around the diamond. We got to talk about these Mariners.
The Mariners.
We are healthy, man. This is fun. And we are healthy, and we're, what, 9 games above 500. We're making a push for the playoffs, and we haven't even had the whole squad yet. So now everybody's back, man. At least almost everybody's back. We're missing a pitcher.
Ken Giles is the only guy that's on a rehab assignment right now.
Yeah, but Julio's back. Diego's back. Haniger's back and performing, man. I think we will see a different team. What do you expect?
I don't know if it's going to be hugely different, but I do think that there is going to be much more consistent production, specifically from the offense, now that you have Mitch Haniger back. And Haniger looks like he has not lost a step, at least offensively, after the time off that he had this season. You get Julio back, you wonder how that wrist is going to respond. I still think even Julio at 75-80% is better than like 90% of guys on
right.
this roster. Your Winker is one guy that you're still waiting to see if he'll be back, but he hasn't needed an injured list stay yet. He hasn't needed any kind of rehab stay yet. So potentially he's back in this series against the Rangers. And his bat has definitely been better over the last month. I think offensively is the biggest concern, but also I think there are guys now in this lineup that can produce at a much more at a rate that is going to be much more conducive to winning consistently. And, you know, Ty France, he's worked his way back. You don't have to worry now about the whole, like, well, wait until this guy gets back.
Yeah.
We had been talking about that for months on end. It's like, well, wait till Mitch Haniger gets back. Well, wait till Ty France gets back. Well, wait till Julio gets back. You don't have to wait anymore. They're all back. They're all in the lineup. They're all producing. And now it allows for you to play a little more freely and to use the matchups that you had planned on using at the beginning of the season, where you just have not been able to do so for the majority of the season so far, now that you've got everybody back in your lineup.
I look at the lineup and I wonder, how is it going to look different now? Because he's got everybody back, mostly everybody back. Like you mentioned, we're still waiting on Winker. He is day to day. Well, who do you think gets pushed out of this lineup now that the M's are healthy?
Well, I mean, you had guys like Kyle Lewis and Jared Kelnick who were already up with the team. They've been moved down to the minors. We saw Luis Torrens get DFA'd, and Kirk Casale just slots into Torrens' spot. He'll be the backup catcher to Cal Raleigh. In the outfield right now, you've got Haggerty, who has been playing out there regularly. I would imagine he'll continue to play in the outfield until Winker is back healthy, which would mean your outfield is Julio in center, Mitch Haniger in right, and then Sam Haggerty in left field. And then in the infield, you've got Frazier, who is your starting second baseman, JP at short. And then you've got Dylan Moore, who can play really anywhere on the field. I think Dylan Moore is the guy right now who I would say won't be getting as much playing time as he did prior to when he went on the injured list. I think this, but that's not to say you won't see him for 5-6 days at a time. You're going to see him out there.
Yeah.
Maybe every day, just in a different spot and maybe not relied upon as much as he was prior to his injury, because before he was injured, this was somebody who was in the starting nine every single day, be it at a different spot every day.
Man, how great is it to have Demo and Haggerty throughout all this stuff going on? These guys are versatile. Yeah. You put them anywhere. Haggerty's play infield, outfield, center field, right field. I mean, you put these guys anywhere and they can produce. They've been the glue to kind of hold this team together during the stretch of a bunch of injuries.
Yeah, it's wild to think about where the Mariners would be without the production they've gotten from both of their utility guys. And normally teams just have one guy that can play multiple positions. The Mariners have a luxury in that Haggerty and Dylan Moore can play all the infield spots and all the outfield spots. And it is allowed for them to be able to give guys days off here and there. It's allowed for them to have a lot of flexibility in filling out their lineup. And now, like, I would say on a really deep team, a team like the Yankees, a team like the Dodgers, this is not a knock on Dylan Moore. It's just that somebody of his talent level on those teams would probably be one of the 26th guy on the roster, just based off of, you know, his positional flexibility and whatnot. And now here with the Mariners, as healthy as they are, they kind of are able to slot him a little further down, and he's kind of able to fill that role with the Mariners right now, which is a good thing when your maybe 26th guy on the roster is as good as he is, which shows how much depth the Mariners now have. And look, do I still think they should have gone out and got a bat at the trade deadline? Yes, I will continue to think that until the end of the season. But considering the situation and what the Mariners have gone through this season, it's hard to ask for more at this point in terms of health for this lineup.
Man, I look at the rotation in the bullpen. Yes, Castillo has been banged up. You mentioned Giles is banged up. But for the most part, man, they've been healthy, you know, with that rotation and the bullpen. I think that's been key to this whole thing. With all the injuries that have happened in the outfield, in the infield, the bullpen and the rotation has been healthy for the most part, man. So it's nice to see it all come together, right? You're seeing it all blossom at the same time. And it's perfect timing because they're about to play 9 games, 3 series that are very winnable. You said you expect them to win all 3 series. Is that, if they don't win all 3 series, is that a disappointment?
It will be, because Texas is not a good team, Oakland's not a good team, and the Angels are not a good team. Those are 3 teams that you should mop the floor with, right, and really build yourself a cushion in this wild card race. The Rangers are the worst team in baseball in one-run games. The Mariners have the most wins of any team in baseball in one-run games. The Mariners are 11-2 against Texas this season. They just took what? Or they split a series against the Angels, and they have had some success against Oakland this season. I look at all three of these series. You're playing three teams that have basically punted on this season. You have a lot to play for every single day. The Mariners have something to play for. That should be motivation enough against these three teams to say, you know what, we're going to go take what's ours, and we're not going to leave any doubt out there as to why we think we're a playoff team and why you should think we're a playoff team.
Rogers just got me hyped. Come on now, let's get her done. All right, we're taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners start a 9-game road trip tonight in Texas against the Rangers. George Kirby gets the start. You can hear all the action starting with the pregame show at 4 p.m. The first pitch is at 5:05 on Seattle Sports Station, and that's Around the Diamond brought to you by Shane Company. When we return, you guys don't want to miss this. We are going to talk to a Seahawk legend, Marcus Trufant. That is next. It's the Bump and Stacey Show. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.